Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, this thing's working. Great. Okay. Yeah, he introduced me as the old guy, and I guess, you know, I am. I'm not going to get out of that. It's just going to get worse. It doesn't get any better. So, yeah. Well, I wanted to come and talk to you this morning about some things that are on my heart. And I feel woefully inadequate. But, I used to tell my Sunday school class that God could use a catfish, you know, all mouth and no brains. All you got to do is just open your mouth. And if God is going to speak, he'll fill it, you know, and he'll give you something. So, you know, y'all got the best. Anyway. I wanted to talk to you this morning about relationship. I won't talk very long, and I wouldn't call it preaching. I would call it talking from the heart. But the reason that I want to talk to you about relationship is because I am the old guy, and wisdom begins to come, I think, through living. It's not something that, I'm better than somebody else, or I know more than somebody else, or I just understand, you know. It's something that I think comes, and did at least through me, or to me, through hard knocks. And that's okay. I think that's probably how most people learn. But one of the things that's been on my heart and my mind is relationship. And the reason for that is that's the only thing, really, that you'll carry out of this world. Your love for family, friends, loved ones, relationship that you have with people. And in course of this life, that should change us. It changed me, and I think it does change most people. We become richer through relationship, and God changes us. And I think he is equipping us for eternity in this life through relationship, through those people that you meet. At least for me, I was telling Russell the other morning that we had breakfast, and during breakfast, I was telling him that I sat down one time and counted 18 different people that have poured into my life and that have helped me spiritually. And I know that that's very conservative. There's probably much more than that. But you just never know how you're going to affect somebody else. You just never know. I was talking to Rachel Robbins earlier after the last service, and she was talking about the importance of people in other people's lives. It can be a life and death situation. You never know when a simple smile or a how are you today is going to affect somebody. They may be the next casualty, you know, because I know I'm getting ahead of myself in my notes. I better check myself out here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the first note. The world trend is isolation. And it's Satan's biggest tool. Satan will use isolation to kill you. He's killed a lot of people. He's caused them to commit suicide, become depressed, and lost in themselves because they've turned inward. Instead of turning out to somebody else, they've turned inward. And it's a dangerous, terrible thing. Now, the world trend is isolation. And it used to be that, you know, back in church history, that the church was the influential thing about culture, and that the world followed the church because the church set the standard. But unfortunately today, it's not like that at all. Today, it's the other way around. The church follows the world. And that's going nowhere, you know. We have to fight it in the church today. You see, I'm wearing a name tag. All y'all are wearing a name tag. They tag us as we come in the door. It's so that we will get to know one another because it's against the norm. We have to fight against that. But, you know, if the church is following the world, we've got to do something else. You know, how do you fit in all of this? I talked a little bit about garage door openers and that sort of thing, privacy fences. People get in their car, go to work, and they hit the garage door, and they back out in their car. Nobody's going to talk to them, right? Well, they come home the same way, and they hit the garage door open, and it closes, and the man's in his castle. He's safe. You know, he's not going to have to talk to anybody. Well, it's awful, really, when you think about it. You know, I grew up not very far from here. I grew up probably a mile and a half from here as the crow flies. And in my little neighborhood growing up, this is how old I am, everybody knew everybody in their neighborhood. and we had chain link fences, and we'd be out standing in the garden talking across the fence to our neighbor. You know, you don't see that very much anymore. Unless you live a little bit more rural and you have a chain link fence, you know, because you have a large lot, something like that. And it really affected me whenever I moved back into the suburbs. I lived in the country a little while like that. I moved back into the suburbs, and to this day, I don't know most of my neighbors in my neighborhood. I knew everybody for blocks, you know. And that was the world. That was the world. Now, in the church, we don't even do that now. You know, we've got to have name tags so we know who each other are. And it's a good idea to do this, but it's sad that we have to. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about relationship. And to quote my dad told me, he said, "Don't wait to leave flowers on somebody's casket. Give it to them while they're alive and they can appreciate it." Now, that's tough, but that's true. And so I've kind of tried to open up to people. And I don't do really good job at relationship myself. But that's what God is dealing with me about. And I believe that he wants me to pass it on to the church, because he died for the church. You are more important to him. You're the redeemed. And if you're not, you need to be, because he paid for you with his own blood. So, how do you fit in with all that, you know? Somebody gets saved, they connect with Christ, they come into the church. The next point is community. And like I told them in the last service, play catch up just a little bit, I didn't know how to get this across unless I found something that was familiar to you. We have the three C's in this church: connect, community, and compassion. And so I got to looking at that, and that's what this is. This is relationship. It fits right into that. So in community, we have discipleship, but discipleship is born in context of relationship. If you don't have a relationship, you don't have discipleship. And he wants us to come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, is what it says in the book of Ephesians. He wants us to become full grown in the Spirit. He wants us to come into the image of Christ. He died for us so that we can do that, so that we can look like Jesus to the world around us. And that comes about through discipleship. Discipleship does not happen outside of relationship. So we need to get to know each other. I don't care what the barrier is. I don't know if it's, I don't care if it's economic or cultural or racial or what. Jesus died for the world. And he doesn't see any of that stuff. Since he died for the world, it's important that we know. Well, and here's another thing. If we're in church, we're doing church work, we should know who our fellow laborers are. Paul talked about it. So we need to know one another. We need to get to know one another. I want to put in a plug for your community groups. I do one. Right now we're not meeting, but we're going to pick it up and start again, because we're going to have a place to meet since we've moved into this building. You know, we've had some issues, but we're going to look at all the community groups and how we can strengthen that. So I want to encourage you to come and try one. I don't care which one. Try one. Find one that you fit into. Some maybe more conducive than others, but Jesus loves you and he wants you to be a part of the body. Discipleship. Jesus said, "Follow me." But it doesn't work that way for us. Not as well, you know. Jesus had a little more pull than we have. So when he told his disciples, "Follow me," they followed him. They dropped their nets. They did whatever it was. Matthew left his tax collecting business and followed Jesus. The way that we get people to follow Christ is to know who we are. Because we love who we trust, and we trust who we know. And that's how that works. So we've got to get to know one another, got to get to trust one another, got to get to love one another. Take time to build relationships. You know, I always thought that relationships just happened. You know, I came from a real settled home and family, and I didn't realize that You have to work at relationships. I don't care if it's a marriage or any other type of family relationship, friendships. You have to invest in that, and that costs something. It's going to cost you something, but it's worth the cost over and over and over again. Don't wait to lay flowers on somebody's casket. Don't do that. So, compassion, the third C. Connect, community, compassion. Compassion, take a stand for Christ in your life. Make a conscious decision to serve Him. Get into the community. Become part of it. You'll begin to be trained to reach out through that discipleship that happens in that place of community. Make the conscious decision, conscious decision to serve Christ. Then keep the promise. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to. Let your life preach the sermon. It will. I talked a little bit in the last service about the power of a testimony. The power of testimony is grossly understated. It's never been given credit, because what has happened with you, how Christ has affected you in your life, is your story. No one can take that away from you. No one can deny it, because it was your experience. Share it. Testimonies are great, but how we live our life is a testimony. You cannot connect, become a part of community, and show compassion outside of a relationship with Christ. Jesus died for you. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, it's my prayer that before you leave these doors, you'll make that decision. Most important, that's the whole reason for this life. We have an eternity waiting on us, but this life is the valley of decision. It's a time of decision. It's a time of testing. It's a time for us to discover what life is all about. And Jesus Christ is what life is all about. He made eternal life available to you through giving up His own life. So if you don't have relationship with Christ, the three C's are not going to apply to you. That's the starting place. Fourth point, in the light of God's love, we all cast a shadow. What kind of shadow do you cast? It can be good, it can be bad. Sometimes your shadow doesn't really do what you want it to do. I mean, you know I need to be doing better than this, but they don't lie. They tell a story. And because of that, you know, God has an opinion of us. And it's all boiling down to motive. It's all boiling down to a matter of the heart. What kind of shadow you cast. You have a choice in the matter. If you will submit to Christ, if you will come to Christ, if you will walk with Him, if you will put yourself away and put Him first in your life, you'll cast the kind of shadow that you want to cast. Not only that, it's a shadow that's bigger than you. It's a shadow of I'm at a loss for words, but it is bigger than you. And it speaks louder than you can speak. They call it lifestyle evangelism. And it can make the difference in a person's life. Once again, take time to build relationships. Like I said, it doesn't really take very long to say what's been on my heart and my mind. And if I have a little bit of wisdom to give, it's because I've probably learned it the hard way. Connect. Become part of a community. And through that, show compassion to the world who desperately needs you, the light of the world. Thank you.
One of the reasons, you know, I wanted Don to talk is I trust Don immensely. He's a guy I get to bounce ideas off of, and when I think I'm right, he'll tell me maybe I'm not, which I appreciate that, and he does it in a gentle way. And I usually think I'm right, so it's good to have somebody to bounce that idea off of. This service, you guys are a little better than in our second service, our first service. One of the things we talked about in this idea of community, in being in a new building that's a little more of a challenge, is our seating even. In the old place where we met, it was kind of a little more wide, a little more everybody was made to come closer. In this building, you can be really anonymous and sit in the back. You can come in and kind of just sit on the edge, and nobody has to sit by you because it's kind of awkward to stick your butt in somebody's face as you walk down the pew, right? Honestly, it's an awkward situation. So what we're going to encourage y'all to do as we're in this building, as we're in this place, is we're going to encourage something pretty cool. I hope you can remember this. It's slide to the side. Nobody wrote that down, dude. I worked on that all week. It rhymes like me and Dr. Seuss. Slide to the side, right? Okay, y'all try it. Say it. Okay, so instead of sitting on this aisle, sit on this aisle. A way just for us to connect with people in our church because we make room for them to sit. Man, this row back right here, you guys look awesome. You filled up a whole row. Now, most of you are kind of related, so that, you know, I'm not giving you mad props for that. But, you know, in the earlier service, it was two by two by two by two. It looked like Noah's Ark, except, you know, the unclean animals, because Noah had seven clean and only two of each unclean. So it was kind of a weird little setup there. So we want to encourage you to slide one person. Jeez. All right, two of you got it. Thank you, guys. All right, I'm trying to not be difficult about that. But slide to the side. I think you'll find you'll get to meet some other people. As Don talked about, in September, our community group schedules usually follow the school year and calendar because most of us follow the school year calendar. So in September, we're going to be kicking off again kind of our community groups and what those look like. The neat thing about having a building, finally, is that we're going to be able to have some children's stuff that's going to happen up here on Wednesday night. So we're going to have some Wednesday night programming, so our community groups will look a little different, where you drop off your kids and they'll be able to be taught and be taken care of. But we need volunteers who want to help with that. And then also get to plug into a community group during the week where you get the opportunity to make those relationships. Because the truth is, I would love to believe that when you hear me preach, you walk out of this place changed. Unfortunately, I'm just not that good of a preacher. All right? Nobody is. The truth is, we grow through relationships with other people. That is what challenges, that's what pushes us, that's what grows us, is when we have a trust relationship with someone and they can say, you know what, maybe you can work on this. Hey, I had to learn this the hard way. Maybe you're smarter than me and can learn from my mistakes rather than your own. And we get those helpful things. So we believe community groups are incredibly important. Again, nobody wants to sit next to a stranger. That's weird. But weird is the only thing that works. Because the truth is, what's going on, and if we follow the way the world's going, it's a mess. If you turn on the news, you see, okay, we might be going to war with Russia. The Middle East is in turmoil all over the place. We got people in the name of Jesus screaming at little kids at the border in languages they don't even understand. And we're missing what God is doing. And church, if we're trying to do church and do our lives with Jesus like the world is, it's not working. We have to be weird. We have to push ourselves to a different level because what everybody else is doing isn't working. We are, Jesus said, the light of the world. We have the opportunity to be weird and show them an alternative. So slide to the side is just a tool to help us do that. There's lots of others of serving homeless, of going to nursing homes, of doing the things that we believe. We got a group in Haiti right now that are leading Vacation Bible School this week. Be praying for them. My wife's there, so be praying more for me because she left me with six kids and went to Haiti for a week. It's her birthday this week, and I told her I got her a tropical vacation for her birthday, but she said Haiti doesn't count as a vacation. I don't know. She's picky, all right? But, you know, these are all great opportunities we have as the church to serve the world. So let's pray, and we'll sing a last song, do some announcements, and be dismissed. Father, we bow in your presence today, grateful for all the things that you do. Grateful for the fact that you push us not to be average, not to be normal, but to take on the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you bring people in our lives that can challenge us and push us, not out of great, compelling arguments or out of delving deep into the scripture, but out of the truth of saying, this is how I have learned, this is what I know, this is what I can stand on. Father, there is a great power in that of being able to say, this is what I have experienced, this is what I have learned. Father, help us to be better at community. Our first and foremost heart as a church is this, that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have never decided to follow him, that today will be the day that you do. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I love that there's no hoops you have to go through. You don't have to go through 6 years of community group to be worthy to be part of God's family. Jesus paid the ultimate price and gives us access to the Father through our faith. So if there's anyone here today that would like to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, nobody's looking around, would you just raise your hand? Let me see so I can pray for you. Take that step of faith here in this place. Thank you. I see your hand. Lord, thank you. I see your hand in back there. Lord, thank you for that. Father, we bow here before you and say thank you for those lives who say, Jesus, you are the most important thing. Father, many of us in this place have decided to follow you, but the week is full of temptations and toils and snares. And we come into this place to get refreshed on the only thing that matters. Father, forgive us when we get distracted. Help us urge one another on to goodness and godliness for the glory of the King, who is the only king who ever died for his subjects. King Jesus, you are worthy of all. All right, y'all grab a seat. We'll do announcements real quick, and then we'll dismiss. Not this Monday, but a week from Monday, we're going to do Vacation Bible School here. So kids from kindergarten to 12, not to 12 years old, to fifth grade, maybe that's 12, I don't know. Anyway, kids from kindergarten to fifth grade from 9 to noon going to have a great opportunity to share Jesus with them, to have a lot of fun, to sing some songs. We're going to have them the next week. They'll actually perform the songs on Sunday morning. So there's some invitations in the back. If you know some people that age, we want you to grab these. We want you to invite folks. We want you to invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers who've got kids, an opportunity to do that.